I was told that yesterday some people thought that the Anuwim Way, our publication, was wrong because it had the wrong gospel. And in some of the parishes, the gospel that was read yesterday was the same gospel that was read on Sunday, the story of the multiplication of the loaves. And it turns out that in the Ordo, which is the guide for the liturgy, the same mistake is made. Actually, the Anuwim Way is correct. And here's what it says in the fine print yesterday. It says here, in year A, when the gospel below is read on the preceding Sunday, Matthew chapter 14, multiplication of the loaves. On Monday, it says here, when this gospel is read, then the next gospel, meaning the one for Tuesday, 408 it's called, is what is read. So that's why yesterday we read the story of the Jesus walking on the water. Well then, today, Tuesday, the regular gospel is the story of Jesus walking on the water, and we have another option. Well, this time it's an option. Yesterday we were supposed to read about walking on the water. Today the fine print says this: the following text may be substituted, especially in year A, when the above gospel is read on Monday, meaning the story of the walking on the water. So if you wanted to, we could read the story again of Jesus walking on the water. But since we had it yesterday and we're going to have it again on Sunday, I decided to read this option about Jesus, again, another conflict with the Pharisees, who are, in this case, accusing the disciples of breaking the tradition of the elders. Maybe that's not so significant, but this is a liturgical community, so we try to follow the liturgical life closely. Without turning it into a legalistic system that we must follow, without being enslaved by human rules, which is the trap that the Pharisees fell into. The tradition of the elders was an extension of the law meant to uphold the law and make sure that people follow the law, but it ended up becoming a kind of slavery to the letter of the law. This was exactly the spirit that today's saint did not follow. He was not a Pharisee. I'm talking about Saint John Vianney, the patron saint of priests. Saint John Vianney was a very simple, humble man. In his lifetime, especially in his earlier lifetime, there was nothing about him that was particularly striking. And so he was given a very obscure little parish, a neglected little parish, kind of like being put out to pasture, put out to the edges, because he's not going to do anything anyway. There's a statue of him here before the altar, Saint Jean Vianney. His greatness is that he dedicated himself entirely to the work of a parish priest. This is why he's a great example, because he didn't go off and establish, you know, new missions or build up new, well, he did some new things, but his main work was simply the work of a parish priest. And parish priests they spend a lot of their time dealing with what would be considered ordinary things. Yes, blessings and sacraments, but also making sure that the roof doesn't leak and making sure that people are being attended to, and hidden service. Especially in the confessional, which if you're not going to confession yourself, you don't pay much attention to what's going on in the confessional. That's supposed to be that way. But for the priest, if he's hearing a lot of confessions, it's a very, very demanding ministry. And Saint John Vianney, well, as he got more and more popular, he started hearing more and more confessions. And part of the reason why he was popular as a confessor, first of all, he didn't ask too many questions. And secondly, he didn't give very heavy penances. And in those days in France, this is talking about 19th century France, it was common to make the Christian life very burdensome to people. Heavy penances and rare permission to receive Holy Communion. And St. John Vianney, who knew the love of God, who knew the mercy of God, and knew the power of the priesthood, said that's not how it's supposed to work. This is supposed to build people up, give them freedom, give them joy. The Christian life should attract them, not burden them. Now, he often took penance on himself for the sake of his penitents. So a great example of what Jesus himself came to do, take on the burden of sin himself, not burden others. So it's striking that today's gospel, in which Jesus throws off the slavery to the letter of the law, in which Jesus sets aside the Pharisees as blind guides, it happens to fall on this feast day of this humble, holy priest, St. John Vianney. Now, it's easy for us to say when we read this gospel, yes, it's bad to follow a blind guide. It's bad to be a blind guide. It's bad to follow a blind guide, because both will end up in a pit. But we don't recognize our own blindness very easily. Because of our sin condition, we tend to favor our own perception and think that we're right. Or in the times when we think we're wrong, we condemn ourselves and don't turn to the mercy of God. It's a kind of blindness either way. That's why it's so important for us to ponder the word, to be instructed by the word, to be given the example of Jesus and of the saints, so that light can break in on our blindness. This is what the prophets did as well. They were sent to proclaim the word, to give people the word that they needed in the moment. Now here we read in today's liturgy another passage from the prophet Jeremiah, and you might have noticed it's as if there's two completely different messages given in this reading. There's, in the first part, a rather harsh condemnation, speaking about punishment and speaking about being treated like an enemy, a wound that never heals. And then in the second part of the first reading, there's this talk about restoration, glorious restoration. And so we might, because we tend to be blind, we might be saying, well, what is God saying here? Is he giving us a strong message of condemnation, of punishment, or is he telling us that he will build us up and restore us? And the answer, of course, is both. As I was pondering this, I experienced what you probably all experienced this morning, this rapid change between rain and sun. I think it rained 4 times in a half hour. And then it stopped raining and the sun came out. So we say, well, is it a rainy day or a sunny day? Well, it's both. Perfect weather for a rainbow, by the way. But I didn't see one. I didn't see a rainbow. Perfect weather for a rainbow. Morning, sun, morning, a morning shower. Sun comes out, but it's still raining on us. But anyway, the point is, we need both. We need correction. We need warnings. We need punishments to open our blind eyes or give us light. But we also need the encouragement of restoration, of grace, of mercy, of a revelation of how much God loves us and how much he wants for us. And that's what we see in this first reading. Both. We need rain and we need sunshine. In our blindness, we don't know what we need. Actually, we don't know what we need. So that's why it's so beautiful to be guided by the liturgy, by the word of God, so that we're given what we need when we need it. If we're humble enough, if we have a listening heart, if we're good soil, then the word that's given to us can bear fruit. But if we keep slipping back into that error of the Pharisees, which is to focus on our own perception or our own set of rules, then we won't benefit from the light because our eyes are still closed. So with the intercession of St. John Mary Vianney and with the power of the word, let us welcome this gift so that we can be enlightened and fruitful by the grace and mercy of God.